It's not as though the Army has never set its sights for a couple decades down the road. When he was Defense Secretary, Robert Gates famously criticized the military for what he termed next war-itis and told them to start worrying more about the fights that were then raging in Iraq and Afghanistan. General Bob Cone is the commander of Army Training and Doctrine Command.
He basically was saying, hey, stop thinking about the war after next and start to think about these youngsters that are on the ground. And I will tell you, the Army completely fired the retro rockets and focused very well. And I could name, for instance, some 17 near-term adaptations that we have done through the acquisition process, the rapid equipping force, and really focused in close. We are all attuned to that call from theater, the Ju-ons, the ons, the theater visit, and grinding quick solutions, largely commercial off-the-shelf adaptation to near-term problems. And I think that's great. But the challenge we face as we transition from an army of execution to an army of preparation is that we must reallocate some of our energy towards the future.
The future, according to TRADOC's Deputy Commanding General for Futures, Lieutenant General Keith Walker, is the time period between 2030 and 2040.
Now, the thing about the future is you don't have the budget challenge in the future because nobody's going to know when you
talk
about the deep future of the decade of 2030, 2040. But the obvious challenge is predicting the future, and we know we can't get it right. So the issue is not can we get the future right. The issue is we better make sure we think about it real hard so we don't get it too wrong.
To make sure they don't, Army leaders say they need to make sure they maintain a robust investment in science and technology programs, even while nearer-term procurement accounts take a major hit from sequestration. And since the Army S&T enterprise has been focused on current fights for the last several years, it'll have to rely more heavily during the next few on technologies that are already ready to deploy and make incremental improvements. Lieutenant General James Barkley is the Army's Deputy Chief of Staff for Resources.
And on the incremental improvements, you know, we're going to have to rely a lot close in on a lot of the mature technologies that we need. So really start looking hard at those things we need to invest money in that will pay dividends out beyond 2020, in the mid-20s, probably more into the 30s when you start fielding some of this stuff.
Barkley says that philosophy in the Army will also lead to smaller procurements.
Again, that's part of the cost-effective modernization and refreshing technology and stuff because of the limits we have, the fiscal limits we have. That will then allow us to invest some dollars where we're going to go, hopefully, in the future, and that'll help us achieve that. But all the while, if we are not careful in this environment that we're in today and take a hard look at our industrial base and ensure that we maintain the strengths that we have, you can think about, talk about design a force that you will not be able to build if you aren't cautious about what you're doing over the next 5 years with that industrial base in a very constrained fiscal environment.
Army officials say they have some other strategic concerns about the next 5 years, mainly centered on the idea that the technological superiority the U.S. military currently enjoys in some areas will be made less relevant as other countries begin to catch up. But Cone says that's not the main thing that keeps him up at night. He's more worried that the next big breakthrough will happen outside America's shores.
And that is where we need to be technology makers. And what is being developed by our potential adversaries that we are not keeping pace with? And again, are we investing? And we're very, very comfortable as a result of this period of adaptation at focusing on commercial off-the-shelf applications. Look, 90 countries can do commercial shelf off-the-shelf applications. What I'm worried about is what a potential adversary could come up with in any of a number of areas that we're monitoring. And the question is, do we have the appropriate investment? Do we have the focus in the right areas to continue our own development so that we have initiative in this area as opposed to trying to adapt? And the cost of adaptation, if someone develops a truly innovative weapon, will be significant in terms of lives.
But Cone says there's some reluctance in the institution of the Army to put resources toward a murky future that's still a couple decades off. Part of that, he says, springs from the Army's 6-year experience with the Future Combat Systems program, which Secretary Gates canceled in 2009, saying it relied too heavily on technology that had not yet proven to work.
And I mean, I think that hangs over all of us. We tried to go a little bit deeper than 5 years. We, frankly, struggled in matching the technology with the capability and the requirement in terms of delivering. So we're a little bit gun-shy and, quite frankly, very comfortable in operating in the environment we're in.
Barkley says the Army may have been able to afford to bet and lose on a costly program like FCS during the last decade, but it certainly won't be able to in the next one.
We've made some huge mistakes, and it was really didn't make a lot of impact on where we were going or how we were going to design our force. We recovered quickly. We were in an environment that we had the funds and the resources to do that. We are not going to be in that kind of environment in the future. So to get beyond 2020 and where we think we need our Army to go, we've got to understand what do we want the Army to look like and what do we want it to be capable of. Again, we're talking about being versatile and tailorable. But when you do that, it also has to be affordable and cost-effective. And sometimes versatile and tailorable, cost-effective are not spoken in the same sentence. But that's where we have to look at.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.